Good morning, everyone. I'm Melissa Savin, and today I'm going to talk to you about my research. I'm looking at ditches throughout Delaware and the current ditch management practice in order to determine effective ways to guide and improve the ditch management that our state implements. I'm specifically looking at phosphorus because of the historical overapplication of phosphorus on Delaware soils. So let's get started. Artificial drainage in Delaware is very, very important, and it's necessary in many areas. This bottom picture shows the extensive ditch network throughout the two counties in Delaware where my study sites are located. And artificial drainage is just the engineered system that's designed to remove excess water from the soil surface and subsoil. You can achieve this by creating ditches, channelizing streams, or implementing tile drains. My study sites are all channelized streams, so these are the collector ditches, so they're pretty large and they carry water all year round. And because we're on the Atlantic Coastal Plain, many of our areas are poorly drained and have high seasonal water tables, which require drainage in order to remove that excess water so farmers can get out with their machinery and actually work the fields. So while artificial drainage allows for land use that otherwise wouldn't be achievable, there's also problems associated with it. First of all, artificial drainage and ditches serve as conduits for nutrient and sediment pollution, and that's because they connect edge of fields and the management practices applied on those fields directly with water pathways or even moving water. And this is a problem in my study area because my ditches drain directly to the Chesapeake or Delaware Inland Bays at the end of their path, and the eutrophication problems there are quite significant. Over time, ditches accumulate with vegetation and sediment, which require maintenance in order to maintain their functionality. Otherwise, they can't effectively drain the adjacent fields, and also as a method for weed control. And the problem is the impacts from current management practices that are implemented are unknown on the overlying water quality. As you can see, it kind of appears like a wetland over time, and we don't really know what the effects are by removing that kind of ecosystem. So right now in Delaware, we implement the tax ditch dip out every 15 to 20 years as needed. It's basically just the dredging of the ditch. So an excavator comes in and removes, as the first picture shows, and removes the accumulated sediment from the bottom of the ditch and places it on the adjacent field, which could be agricultural or even forested. So this area where they place the spoil, since these are tax ditches, are actually maintained by the state, so this is required, but it only gives the state a little tiny section directly next to the ditch to place these sediments. And the removed sediments, we call them spoils. So after the piles are placed, we're not really sure if a storm event might occur, if we're just washing those nutrients that we just thought we removed back into the ditch. But after the piles drain a little bit, a bulldozer comes in, as the bottom picture shows, and spreads that spoil out. And then farmers come in with their tractors and till it in and incorporate those sediments. They oftentimes complain about the consistency and texture of the spoil and say those areas that have been treated with the spoils do not have as high productivity anymore. So some will even pay to have those piles completely removed from the area. And in addition, there's these steps. There's a lot of time between them. And it's really hard for us to know the nutrient loss from the spoil piles before and after the incorporation. So the research objectives of mine are to characterize these ditch bottom sediments to determine the potential release of phosphorus to the overlying waters before the dip out occurs. And then after the dip out occurs, I need to quantify the phosphorus removed from the maintenance and then predict the potential loss of P from spoil amended areas. And overall, based on all my findings, I hope to provide a recommendation to the state, because it's an implemented practice, to improve this current management practice to better improve our water quality. So to begin, we selected 7 of the 15 tax ditches that were scheduled for dip out that the district provided us with. We selected them based on site suitability, and we wanted them to be holding water all year round so we could really see what those ditch bottom sediments were doing to the overlying waters. And we have really extensive networks, and only a portion of the ditch can be maintained or dipped out at a time, usually because of budgeting constraints. And in our case, this past year, the ditch segments that were dipped range from 1.25 to over 3 kilometers. And the land use surrounding our areas are ag and forested, or a mixture of both. This is just one of my study sites. You can see there's ag fields with some forested areas on the other side of them. And to collect intact depth or core samples, I went into the ditches in the center and used the core and collected samples throughout the entire length of the dip out, approximately evenly spaced, so I could get a representation of the sediments that are in this system right now. So then once I had my samples, I took them back to the lab, and I divided them into depth increments of 0 to 5, 5 to 15, and 15 plus centimeters. These depths were just based on the variability of the samples, the intact samples that were actually pulled out of the ditch. As you can see in the bottom picture, some were shallower than others, so it was just based on what we were seeing from the sample size. And the 0 to 5 centimeter samples are probably the most important because, based on past literature, that's the depth that is most interactive with the overlying waters and can cycle the nutrients. So far, I've characterized phosphorus in the sediments, all depths, for water-soluble phosphorus, malic-3 phosphorus, and EPA 3050 phosphorus, which I followed the SARA-17 standard methods. And in the future, once I composite these samples, because you can see there's variability in the size, I'm going to complete phosphorus isotherms, sequential phosphorus fractionation, and soil texturing. And from all these test results, I'll be able to quantify the amount of phosphorus that was removed from this maintenance practice. So when my preliminary results showed that water-soluble phosphorus and malic-3 phosphorus decreased with sample depth, which was what we were expecting, so there is this accumulation of phosphorus in the top 5 centimeters. And these two box plots just show the variability within one ditch. So the first plot on the left is water-soluble. The second one is malic-3 phosphorus. And the very first box shows the entire ditch, all the cores that are found in it, the variability and spread within that data of the 0 to 5 centimeter samples. And then the second plot shows the agricultural cores, because I grouped them by land use, because I thought this would be a good way to composite the samples so I could do future analysis. And then the third is the forested. So you can see, based on the means, that they're really similar based on land use, and there's really a large spread with the outliers at the top, and the boxes are pretty similar as well. So we just decided this is probably not the best way to group our samples so I could do future tests. We might lose something really valuable in that. So I'm completing a GIS analysis to determine if there's any upstream contributions that are affecting these core concentrations. So this is just the DEM of the my watershed area, and each of those little labeled things are every single core that I took. And I'm going to delineate sub-watersheds for every single point and then look at the upstream land use and soil types and see if maybe these are the factors that are affecting the concentrations, and maybe that's the best way to group my samples for the future. So we wanted to determine what was going on once these spoils were incorporated into the field. So before the dip out even occurred, we took representative samples of the field soils from the adjacent fields that were about to be dipped. And then once the dip out occurred, I went back out and I took spoil samples from piles randomly placed along the field that we had sampled earlier that year. And these are just pictures of what the spoil piles look like. So the first shows it's just a long stretch of sandy sediment, basically. And then you can see the piles. That's just what it looks like when it comes out of the excavator. So I've ran some tests on the field and soil samples that I collected. I've completed the malic-3 phosphorus and water-soluble phosphorus so far. And I'm also going to do similar tests to these as I had suggested in the intact core samples. So you can see, based on these results, the soil phosphorus concentrations are on the y-axis in both, and the bottom is the sites that I selected. The first one represented a high concentration site, the middle one was an average, and then the later one was the lowest that I had seen. The blue bars are the field, and then the red bars are the spoil results. And you can see just how concentrated our field soils really are in phosphorus. They're really high. The 100 meter or milligram per kilogram mark is our optimal, the upper end of our optimal phosphorus level in Delaware. So they're all pretty excessive in P. So now I'm completing an incubation study to see what's actually going on after the farmers incorporate these sediments. So I'm going to characterize the field and spoil the foreign corporations. I have samples that represent just field as well as just spoil, as if it was piled up on the adjacent fields before it even gets incorporated. And then I have samples that I'm going to use that mix the corresponding field and soil spoil samples to see what's happening after the farmers incorporate. And I'm going to collect and characterize subsamples from each of those at three different time intervals. I selected 2 days, 30 days, and 90 days. And then from those test results, I'm going to determine the potential of phosphorus loss from the spoilmunda areas, as well as if it was not even treated with spoil, or if the spoils never were bulldozed down and incorporated. So I've already started the incubation, and I have my results from my two-day samples. And this is just another summary using the same sites that I had found before that represent high, medium, and low concentrations. So again, the concentrations are on the y-axis, and the treatments are on the x-axis. And you can see that, the field is really, really high in phosphorus concentrations above that optimal threshold. And the spoils are still kind of high for Malate 3. They're a little bit lower and water-soluble. And when you amend it, though, we see that it falls somewhere in between, which might mean that the incorporation is actually tying up that phosphorus and holding it, and that would actually be a good thing because we have so much phosphorus. So overall, incorporation, at least after 2 days, has been shown to decrease Malic 3 and water-soluble phosphorus. So in conclusion, we think that the accumulated sediment may actually be from the redistribution of sediments within the ditch system and natural stream processes as it tries to recapture its natural network. And instead of the erosion that we originally had believed because of the soil samples being much lower in phosphorus concentrations than those adjacent fields. In addition, incorporation right now seems to reduce the potential risk of phosphorus loss from these spoilmunda areas. And my next steps are just to fully characterize my ditch sediments that I collected before the dip out. And also, now it's been a year, I want to get back out there and collect more samples and see if there's any difference. And then complete the rest of my incubation, and from all those results, provide a recommendation to the state to improve this management practice. Thank you. Is there any questions? So the question asked was, what kind of recommendations do I think are a good, might be what I could suggest at the end of this? And right now I really think that maybe the timing, I think that might, with the incubation results, I might be able to say, you know, the farmers need to get out there and incorporate immediately instead of waiting, because, I mean, I was out in the field and months later you would see the pile still there after the dip out. So it's a really time thing, and I don't know if that's making an impact or not, but I think that could definitely be improved. Or maybe the prioritization of what ditches actually get dipped. Maybe some aren't so influenced by phosphorus, and we can hold off on those and do it based on water quality improvement, not so much the factor of just a timing thing.
And another quick one, how consistent are when they're in there with an excavator in terms of actually removing the...
So the question was, how consistent are they with removing the same amount of sediment with the excavator and actually getting all of it? And they're actually, I've talked to the excavator guys, and they say there's a hard pan at the bottom, and they can feel it from sitting inside the excavator. So they're taking their bucket all the way down to as far as they can go, to the original depth of the ditch, and removing it. So, I mean, if I trust them that they are paying attention to that feeling, then they're getting what they can. They can't go any deeper.
It's actually laser level. It's impressive. It's like surgical removal with precision.
Well, thank you so much.
Yep.
I think that concludes our session for today. And I'll just want to remind everyone that this was the graduate student competition, and that we will be announcing the winners tomorrow, Tuesday, during our during our Walsh lecture. And also, I wanted to thank again our sponsors, Agrium, Coach Economic Services, Mosaic, Potash Corp, Simplot, and Wilburn Ellis. And with that, thank you all for coming, and have a good conference.